Yeah, it was a great weekend. It was covered with me posting social media, NASCAR race, a hike, a couple of different sessions of beer drinking, including the race. It was a pretty good weekend, Al.
Okay, so I kind of waited on this one. So a while back, probably 2 months ago or so, my girl wanted to do one of those cooking classes.
Oh, nice.
All right, so she wanted to sign up, blah, blah, blah. There's a place in Eagle Rock that I guess does this. So we did it last night. Guess the dish. Oh, we went. This was.
Is it a fancy dish or is it kind of a classic dish?
It's a classic dish at a specific. It is specific region, right? So I'll tell you what it is. By the time you guess,
paella.
It's not paella. No, but it's actually a good. It's a good guess. Pad Thai.
Oh, okay.
And this was
pretty good, by the way.
Well, let me say this. I kind of had a crazy weekend where I was running all over the place, had to do this, was getting up early, all that stuff. So when I drive back on Sunday, I drive back from San Diego, probably the last thing I wanted to do was take a 5 o'clock cooking class on a Sunday till 7 o'clock. That was not on the top of my mind.
I can relate.
So I wasn't in the best mood. Pretty cool, actually. I've never taken a cooking class like this.
Neither have I.
And it's a very non-traditional dish. Non-traditional as in I'm not going home and making this specific dish. But the idea and the concept is you're supposed to go home and make this dish.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
It was actually really good, and it's us making it after the head chef. There's probably 20 people in there.
Okay.
But you got the head chef that kind of walks you the process. Could I tell you this? And this is not, I'm just being completely honest. I was in my head, I'm like, if you at one point decide that you want to try, I want to do stuff I'm passionate about, I like, maybe there's a signature dish you like, I think you would love something like this.
Oh, there's no question.
You would love something like this.
I agree.
He's talking about the pan. He's talking about, you know, where to get this from, supplies, sure, all that stuff. Anyways, long story short, made the dish, and I tell my girl after, and we're sitting there eating it, all that stuff, and it's like you're eating your...
And it was good.
It was good. Yeah. It was good. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was good. were there moments I made mistakes? Definitely I made mistakes when she's kind of coming in or and vice versa, the same thing. But I tell her, I'm like, so do you think we're going to cook this dish at home? And she's like, no, I don't think we're going to. I'm like, well, why the hell did we come here, man? What was the whole purpose of coming here? Here was her reasoning. The guy was saying, you know, there's certain ingredients that you're only going to get from stores that
you got to go to an Asian grocery store.
100%.
Yeah.
So she's like, look, we're going to get all this stuff. We're going to use it one time. And then what? I'm like, okay, you're not.
Make it again.
I was going to say, you're not wrong at that.
Make it a couple times.
But why the hell did we come to this class then? So it's just kind of funny that ultimately at the end of the day, it was her saying, I don't know if we're going
to
make this.
If you had to, and not that you have to make it perfectly.
Okay.
But if I just put you in the kitchen, you have all the ingredients.
I got everything.
You have everything that you need. Could you make it again?
I think I can. Here's what's going to hurt me. So I'm going to put the chicken in first, and I'm going to kind of, as the guy was saying, make sure it's all around the pan. Never let it stick the entire time. At some point, I'm going to put in kind of the base for this dish, but I think for a lot of Thai dishes, it's the garlic, the dried shrimp,
mm-hmm,
and the why am I forgetting the name? The thing that you said, last time of cooking, you say you always got to use this. Why am I not onion?
Shallot.
That's like the base. You're putting that in there. Bring the noodles in. Bring it in. My only issue is going to be the amount of water that you're using.
The steam.
And you're not covering it, but the amount of water, the noodles absorb so much of that water where it looks like it's cooked, but it's not cooked at all because it all just kind of shrivels up. I can carry my own, but I would need to do it 3 or 4 times.
That's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Gonna try.
You're not going to walk out of there like Wolfgang Puck after one day.
I just need to have just all the ingredients.
Or Jet Teal is a better choice since it's Pad Thai. Jet Teal is the proper celebrity chef in this situation.
But what you just said about having like the proper ingredients and all that, the burner, all that stuff, I would need the setup. If I have the setup, I can actually kind of carry my way.
Good for you. That sounds fun.
Pad Thai was one of the first dishes that I attempted to make when I was like in my cooking journey.
Okay.
And the only thing is like it required a lot of bowls and prep and ingredients. That's because there is like there's
it's
a line.
Mise en place.
Yes, I don't know the exact vocabulary, but yes, you're right. But it's like it's the nuts, it's the extra things. But
I couple
I
eggs,
really
the
liked
bean sprouts, the green onion. So I mean, good. It's actually
it's hard
legit
to mess
dish.
Up. It's hard to mess up. It's hard to do super well, but it's hard to do poorly.
I could find a way. I could find a way to do it poorly. Nothing left.
You ate it all.
Yeah, I ate it all.
Yeah, it has been pretty good.
People were walking around. They're like putting it in. He had some containers to go. I'm like, I didn't know those were available. So I just kept eating. She was done eating. By the way, some lime there on the end.
Come on. I mean, yeah.
Pretty good.
I like what she said. It's hard to do well, but it's not hard to do. So if you just kind of hit the bigger notes, it's going to do. And by the way, you squeeze a lime on an old boot, it's going to taste pretty good.
You amazing. Know, peanut sauce on an old boot, also great. Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
So that the fish sauce that he prepared, the fish sauce in front of us.
Yeah.
So we did not have to do that.
Oh, he made his own fish sauce?
Made his own fish. Or
did he beat it out of the bottle?
No, he made, yeah, he had combination
fancy.
Stuff.
Fancy.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. He's making it happen. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, we're not going to make this at home. I'm like, well, what the hell is going on here?
What's a good dish like you to learn? Because you don't cook a lot. You're kind of getting started in this whole cooking at home journey. Mm-hmm. Like the thing that if you could make something at home two, three times a month, what would you want it to be?
That's a good question. So I know this is a little bit more complicated, but I like dishes like this. Like if I could find something that's different, it's not if I could make some type of an Indian dish or make some type of a Japanese dish or some type of a Thai dish,
you're jumping
something
to
like
the,
that is
the more complicated recipes.
Tikka masala.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. It might be a little bit more complicated, but like anything, you do it three, four times, isn't
for
it?
For sure. You should try like a couple of Italian things. They're
like
they're
bolognese.
Super flavorful and good, but they're less complicated. They're not quite
they're forgiving.
As... They're forgiving. That's the better word. They're far more forgiving. I got a few for you. All I'm going to send you the Travis cookbook. By the way, I kind of sort of have one.
A cookbook?
Yeah, it's not like written down, but I have it in my head of like...
A rotation of things.
There's like 10
you...
or 12 things I know how to do off the top of my head that are all going to turn out okay. Kyrie Irving's a Dallas Maverick.
Yeah.
I really thought when we were sitting here on Friday afternoon that by the time we got here on Monday, he would be a Laker. I think
Joe Tsai's an a-hole.
I think most Laker fans thought that it was going to get done. I think Kyrie wanted it to get done.
Yeah.
LeBron obviously wanted it to get done. Joe Tsai, like you said, Al, had other feelings, had other intents. Now, thankfully, the Mavericks package is arguably better than the Lakers. I think you can make a case for the Laker package, but you can also make a case for the Dallas one.
For where they are and having still KD under contract
yes.
and trying to pretend to him that they're going to compete in the East, which they're not, that whole portion of
they're not throwing in the towel. They're not going full rebuild. They still have Kevin Durant and some other pretty good players, and they're going to try to continue to compete, like you said. But now the Lakers, this was their chance. This was the window opened up, maybe a little bit unexpectedly, with Kyrie's trade demand on Friday.
Yeah.
But it felt like, oh, there, you got to go right now. That opening that you had to jump from where you are, 12th, 13th place all season long, to not just get out of that.
But give you a shot.
A real shot. Yeah. A shot to be one of the two or three best teams in the conference. Mm-hmm. A shot to go play Denver or Golden State.
In a seven
game set. Yeah, sure. Let's go. Let's see what happens. Now that that window has closed, now that he's in Dallas, I don't know if it opens again before Thursday. I don't know if there's another guy that would make me feel like there are guys that the Lakers would be better.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a guy like that, all of the baggage included, that makes you go, you know what? Yeah, we've got a real shot. Kyrie was that guy.
So I think, by the way, that's a good way to put it, because the disappointment or the bummer of where they're sitting today, there's a lot of reasons for that, right? There's a lot of factors. It could be, let me give you an example. The Phoenix Suns did not make a trade for Kyrie, but the Phoenix Suns still have, if they're healthy, a good enough team that you feel like could compete in the Western Conference, right? The Dallas Mavericks, they're rolling the dice, but in their mind, well, what do we got to lose here? We only have Luka. Let's see what happens if we get another star. For the Lakers, this is the reality for the Los Angeles Lakers. The reality is that with Anthony Davis and without Anthony Davis, this is a Lakers record. They're 14-16 without Anthony Davis. They're 11-13 with him this season.
Of course they are.
So they're two games below 500 either way. That since Anthony Davis has come back, since he's been back, he's healthy, all that stuff. He only missed one game, missed the Brooklyn game. They beat the Knicks in overtime, could have lost that game. Beat the Pacers by two, could have easily, or by one, could have easily lost that game. Lost to a Pelicans team that had lost 10 games in a row and without Zion put 131 on the Lakers. They're in 13th place in the standings. Lakers have the Thunder tomorrow. Can I tell you how different these two franchises are right now? Lakers are trying to win today.
And they're behind the Thunder by two games in the loss column.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have an actual cushion on the Lakers in the standings. Jeez. They have 487 picks lined up over the next X amount of years. Chet Holmgren hasn't played a game yet because of his injury. Shai Gilgeous, one of the brightest futures of young players in the NBA.
Yes.
So that to me is what is also the biggest part of the disappointment is not only did you not get Kyrie.
Why did you not mention Josh Giddey, my guy?
Giddey's a good player.
I know he is.
No, Giddey's a good player. But like you have so many different things that without that Kyrie trade happening that now puts really in perspective of where the Lakers are sitting. And that to me is what I think was most disappointing. He gave you some glimmer of hope, some life. And that's funny to say that Kyrie's giving any team glimmer and hope in life, but he would have done that with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Well, what now is the glimmer and hope for the last 4 days before the trade deadline?
All right. So Emily's just telling me, Al, that LeBron was talking about Kyrie. He did that just a few minutes ago. Emma?
Yeah.
So
it's
we're
going to be on ESPN.
Okay.
We have the sound.
So we'll have that sound when we come back. We'll get to hear from LeBron. You and I will hear it for the first time together. I'm curious because I thought his tweet was really stupid. I don't know how else to say it. It was unnecessary. It accomplished nothing. And it was a classic, well, I'm going to say one thing. We all know what it means, but I have this plausible deniability.
Just, Rob offered the picks. I don't know what else Rob can do.
There wasn't a, why didn't you go the extra mile?
No.
They went the extra mile. There was nothing else to do, and it felt completely unnecessary to do it. We'll hear from LeBron James coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so LeBron is doing an interview with Michael Wilbon that's going to air today in its entirety. Some excerpts and whatnot are starting to leak out. Al, you and I have not even had a chance to listen to this yet, but
yeah.
This, Emily, is the part where he's talking about the Kyrie Irving deal not getting done?
Yes.
Okay, so let's take a listen to this. This is LeBron James with Michael Wilbon.
Well, definitely disappointed. I can't sit here and say I'm not disappointed on not being able to land such a talent, but someone that I had great chemistry with, and know I got great chemistry with on the floor that can help you win championships in my mind, right, in my eyes. But my focus has shifted now. My focus has shifted back to where it should be, and that's this club now, and what we have in the locker room.
That's
the guys,
a quick pivot, LeBron.
It's a quick pivot. It don't take me long. I don't get too excited about the possibilities of things that can be. I kind of envision myself on what it can, but I don't invest it all the way until I know it's happening. And when it does not happen, I'm back locked in on the job at hand. So, you know, we had an opportunity. Our names was out there. The Lakers' name was out there. We had an opportunity. Didn't happen. We move on and we finish the season strong. Try to get a bid into the postseason where I feel we go in healthy and we compete with anybody.
All right, again, that's LeBron with Michael Wilbon.
Yep.
The interview will air in its entirety later today on ESPN. Okay, sure. I wanted it. Didn't happen. Disappointed. Think it would have worked really well. Turning the page on to the next thing. Okay. I believe him. I think that you've heard me say this 100 times, Al. I think that professional athletes, other than bigger, stronger, faster, the thing that they're better at is
turn the page.
And compartmentalization. It's like, I'm not going to worry about what didn't happen. I'm not going to worry about what might happen. I got to play tomorrow night. I got to play OKC. I'm chasing Kareem. These are the things at the front of my mind. But going back to the beginning of that piece of sound, when he's like, yeah, I really thought that we had a chance to do something special, make a run. We got great chemistry. You can tell it's that, yeah, where it's just we had a chance to kind of juice this thing and it didn't happen. You wonder how hard he's leaning on Pelinka or Genie or whoever else, or how hard they're leaning on the rest of the league to try to find a substitute for Kawhi. I don't think that there is one, both in the good and bad sense of that. But I get what he's saying, but what happens next? And I don't think anybody knows.
So I will say that it's fair to criticize decisions that the front office has made. It's fair to look at these last couple of years. Should they have done this? Should they have done that? This is not a time, in my opinion, whether it's LeBron James or it's anybody else that's a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers, that should look at Rob Pelinka and say, you screwed this up. I don't believe that. So that's why when we were talking about the tweet from yesterday, that confused me a little bit. Rob could not have done anything, in my opinion, to change the owner of the Brooklyn Nets to give Kyrie Irving what he wanted. Okay? So now the question is, are you able to turn the page and start moving forward? I think it's going to be weird. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. You know, I've heard
weird
Russell.
For who?
I'll tell you, moving forward right now, I think it's going to be weird for Russell Westbrook to walk in, and it's not. Listen, it's not the first time that he's
been mentioned in
trades.
I was going
to
say this has been so.
It's not. It's not the first time, but it's also kind of that last push. Maybe Russ even thought, you know what, guys, I might be dealt here in the next 24 hours, 48 hours, and then oh, bam. It's Tuesday, Lakers Thunder. Every media person you could possibly think of will be at that Lakers Thunder game because Bron is 36 points away from passing Kareem. The questions are going to be there. The tough questions are going to be there. Maybe in a week the dust will settle and everything will be fine from there. But this is the problem that the Lakers have. Trav, it's one thing to trade for Kyrie Irving and you try to juice this thing. Right, you try to, hey, we're all in, let's see what happens. We're waiting for this opportunity for the 27 and the 29 pick. We were only going to give it up in a situation like this. The problem with the Lakers is they played a game on Saturday when all that chatter about Kyrie was there. They played a game on Saturday where they could have gone 3-2 on the road trip. They played a game on Saturday without Zion playing. Zion wasn't playing against right. for the Pelicans. The Pelicans had lost 10 games in a row. I don't know what the Lakers are going to do between now and Thursday, but the quote of Bron saying, try to get a bid into the postseason where I feel, when healthy, we can compete with anybody. I don't see that.
No.
I don't either. See that. They're two games below 500 when AD's there. They're two games below 500 when AD's not there. They have occupied the 12th and the 13th spot in the Western Conference standings as if it was a home that they built and they put a stake in the grass saying, this is our home. They've only been in the 12th and the 13th spot, it seems like, for the last couple of months.
Right.
They lose to bad teams. They hang with some good teams and then make mistakes. Yeah. They occasionally get wins that you didn't expect. But to think that this team right now, the way it is, you feel good about them making the playoffs, I don't.
Yeah. So I get what he's saying. I get the theory of we have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. We can go play with anybody. The theory makes sense, right? That, hey, LeBron has had a really good year. Anthony Davis, when healthy and when properly motivated, is about as good of a player as there is in this league. It makes intellectual sense. There is no evidence to support that idea. None. They've played, how many games have they played? We're in the middle of February.
That evidence is supported. It was two and a half years ago.
I'm not counting that. There's been 2.5 years of evidence to say no.
I can't disagree
right,
with you.
Right. So I'm going to go with that. I hear what you're saying. There, to your point, this is a team that I don't think, no matter who they play, let's say they get into the play-in. Let's say they win and they finish as the number 8 seed, okay? And they go play the Denver Nuggets. They're not going to get blown out by the Nuggets. I also don't think that they'll win that series. You know, they're good enough to be in all of this, but not good enough to win one of these things. Mm-hmm. Good teams do not lose as many games as the Lakers do at
close games,
left. Yep. Where a basket, a decision, a turnover, a bad shot, a decision to foul or not foul, it seems to always go the other way. They seem to blow those games far more often than they close them out. That's what bad teams do. Good teams find a way to do the opposite. And this isn't, they haven't played 12 games this year. It's February 6th.
28 games left.
We're almost to the All-Star break. There's 28 games left. If this were a team that was a good team that could close, we would have seen some evidence of it, and we haven't. So theoretically, sure, LeBron James and AD have a chance to beat anybody. I agree with the theory. In practice, it just hasn't been true.
Okay, and just to sit off of that, and I think this is what was lost over the weekend, is because all the chatter about Kyrie, they're not winning games. They're not winning games on a consistent basis. They're not putting a product out there that you can say, okay, hey, this is moving in the right direction. Watch out for the Lakers. They're either squeaking by and winning games or they're losing some of those games. So, you know, like you just said that, yes, theoretically, the Lakers can compete against anybody any given night.
Sure.
Theoretically, they can lose against anybody every single night as well.
That's not theoretical. That's what they're proving. Mm-hmm. It's not a theoretical they're bad. They are bad. It's the only two teams in the Western Conference they're better than are the two teams in Houston and San Antonio that are aggressively tanking.
I thought the Thunder were aggressively tanking, and they're in front of the Lakers.
So it's the theory that they're bad. It's not a theory. They are. They're 25 and 29. It's February 6th. This isn't once we get our sea legs. Guys, it's the middle of February or early February.
Yeah.
We should have seen some of this. And we have. I love that stat that you have. They're two games under with AD. They're two games under without him. I mean, if there's not a better case for it is what it is, then I don't know.
Let me ask you this. I wonder if is there, you think, added pressure right now? I still believe – I'm going to take Rob at his word when, you know, they could have a number of different times dealt that 27 and that 29, mm-hmm. and they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we were talking about this, I think, a month ago. I'm like, hey, if they were going to trade for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, wouldn't they have already done it?
Would have done it, yeah.
That's been in the trade talks for 11 months, and they didn't do it. I still am under belief that Rob will not trade the 27 and the 29 unless a deal like that Kyrie presented itself. But doesn't it feel like there's this added pressure right now? The disappointment of not getting Kyrie, the disappointment of where the team is sitting right now, the pressure that a LeBron James would have on the organization. They got until Thursday to figure it out, and I think that's fascinating to me.
All right, I want to take some of these phone calls. We're going to do it in a second. You said something that I think is interesting. Whoever they get, and I agree with you, I think that the pressure has been ratcheted up. I think there's more pressure to do something now than there was prior to the Kyrie situation. It's going to, no matter who they get, unless it's just something we just totally don't see
Didn't see coming, yeah.
It's going to be underwhelming relative to the acquisition of Kyrie Irving. That whoever it is, it's going to be like, yeah, okay, but yeah, man, Kyrie would have been nice. I think that's going to be the overwhelming consensus. That being said, Al, that doesn't mean it's not a better deal, right? And I'm just going to throw this out there, and who knows? Like, let's say they go get Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
Okay, and all of a sudden he comes in. That's interesting. Sure. They could be a good. They could actually be a pretty good team with Bogdanovich. Mm-hmm. So, the Kyrie thing is deeply disappointing. I wanted it to happen too for both. I think it would have been fun to watch them play together. I think as a talk show host, the inevitable catastrophe that accompanies Kyrie Irving would have been really interesting to talk about. But it doesn't mean they're not going to get a player that's going to make them a very good basketball team and maybe they can get hot. Because while the AD LeBron two-headed monster right now has not been good enough, AD LeBron plus whoever
the
you
right
may get.
The right role players, yep.
Maybe.
Shooters and everything else. But I guess that's what goes back to my point. What would be most disappointing, it feels like, if nothing else got done, because that team is showing you.
Unless the price is just too high, right?
Which is fine. That could happen. And I'm not saying that go make a bad move. I'm just saying that if the dust settles and Thursday at noon we're sitting here and the trade deadline is over, because I think that's the deadline. The deadline's Thursday at noon. It will have an empty feeling to it for a team that's four games below 500. And we go from there.
All right, Laker fans, do you go all in on another guy? Do you kind of split the difference and send one of the picks out? Or do you just say, look, we gave it our best shot. It's not going to happen. And let's keep those picks and let's keep Russell Westbrook's contract on the books. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So what would the turnaround time be if I took, like, let's say I go for another hike today? Not completely out of the question. If I took a handful of pictures for you to curate the list of the one that you think would be the best if I sent it to you.
It could be very quick. I'll be on my phone.
We'll see. But I'm,
then I'll send it back to you. Also edit it. I'll crop it so you have the right rule of thirds and all that.
I have the original, so I will let you perhaps select the one, but I will not give you editing criteria.
Okay.
Trav has his own team of social media professionals.
Bang.
Bang!
I like my selfies. I think they're just about right. A little bit half a face, awkward expression.
And you guys saw my dad. I've seen
on YouTube where they say how to take a good selfie. Eh. I've seen one of yours on there where they're using yours as an example.
Do I look a little like your dad?
You do.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's the beard.
Yeah, he's got a little salt and pepper beard.
You guys are similar heights. But yeah, my dad is, I think, it's dorkier than you are. So I think that it doesn't help you.
And you don't have a used car lot outside.
Or a tiki bar.
Or a tiki bar.
Which, by the way, a tiki bar sounds like. I like
your
the tiki bar in the
all
back.
The time.
Does he kayak? Does he hike like me?
All the time. He hikes a lot.
Is
he's
a NASCAR fan like me?
Fit.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very
then
fit.
Then there's the biggest
There's a disconnect like no tomorrow. Did you hear the latest who's demanding a trade? Furkan Korkmaz of the Philadelphia 76ers is demanding a trade.
I was
maybe the Lakers can swoop in on this one.
Is the I'm trying to think. Like, I heard Beal, I've heard LaVine. There's no one that's in the Kyrie stratosphere as far as go do everything you can to make that happen.
Bradley Beal is real deal. I don't think they'd ever get rid of him in Washington. I don't think they would trade him, but that's real deal.
He's good, but it doesn't have the juice that it has with Kyrie. And by the way, that might be a good thing.
By the way, if you asked, do you want Beal or Kyrie? I would take Beal, and I wouldn't even hesitate because of some of the baggage that
Kyrie
has and everything else.
Lunatic.
And Beal's he's legit.
Yeah, no, he is. He's good, but I don't know if people get excited about it. That's one
Zach
of those
LaVine,
I'm going to have to see it.
So if you're, because I know what you're saying, but Zach LaVine might be that player that I think you're describing that's, okay, yeah, he's a good player, high volume shots. He can put up good points, stats, all that stuff. But Beal is real deal.
Let's try a phone call in Beverly Hills this time. Let's go to Leon. Leon, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Hey, guys. I didn't catch the very beginning of the show, but I've heard you, Trav, talk about, you know, how it's a disappointment. And I just don't understand it. I mean, this guy has shown, and I heard Windhorst on ESPN this morning, this guy has shown for several years who he is. Why do you want to introduce a cancer to the locker room? Why is it that we just totally disregard the downside of Kyrie, just put it completely aside and say, oh, it's exciting to get him as a player. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, he brings an offensive game that maybe another element that they don't have, yes. But what does the team really need right now and what they've needed all year? They've needed better shooting. And that's what would fill the gap for this team is better shooting. And not also, by the way, give up more defense by trading out Westbrook for Kyrie. Because Westbrook is actually a better defender than Kyrie, and he can rebound. So you give up rebounding, you give up defense, you introduce a cancer to the locker room, and yeah, you may give yourself a little bit more something to talk about on talk show. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it, Leon. Thanks for the call.
There's no case for Westbrook. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Yeah, I'll let you take that in a second.
Yeah.
Leon, I agree, and I'll go back to Friday. Mm-hmm. I was saying the same thing. You do know that Kyrie Irving has burned the bridge in every place he's been, and that every place he's been, they're far happier to see him leave than they were when he arrived the first time. Okay, I'm with you, Leon. I agree with that. Will he do something destructive to the Mavs? Yes. Will he have done something destructive to the Lakers had he had come here? Yes. Because that's what he does. This is a classic. What's the parable, the frog and the scorpion? You know that one, Slee?
I do not.
Okay, so the frog is on the side of the creek, and the scorpion says, give me a ride. And he goes, no, you're going to sting me. He goes, I'm not going to sting you. If I sting you, we'll both drown. They're halfway across the stream, and the scorpion stings the frog, and they're going down. The frog goes, why did you do that? Because I'm a scorpion. It's what I do. Kyrie's a scorpion. Okay, he's going to do something.
That was good.
Okay, he's going to sting you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Leon. I do it anyway.
It's worth that whole risk.
It's not a risk. It's mm-hmm. going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not a will it happen. It's when and how bad is it going to be? Because he's done it everywhere. I do it anyway. Because I do think that it juices this to the point. And I don't think he's wrong about they need somebody that shoots more than they need a point guard. But what they do need is a third option that is incredibly reliable. He is that. You need a guy that can take over end of games, potentially, if LeBron is
Kyrie's
unavailable.
Kyrie's starting for the Eastern Conference All-Star team.
All of these things. Kyrie's a great player. Mm-hmm. And it's a very unique set of circumstances where I know this is going to go bad, but I do it anyway.
Can I give you an example? Lakers play the Thunder tomorrow. If I'm in Oklahoma City and they were talking about trading Kyrie to the Thunder, I would be the first one in line saying, guys, what are we doing here? We got all these young players. We're developing. We're trying to get we're a few years away from competing. The Lakers are not in any of those situations. You talked about it earlier. Who are the two teams behind the Lakers in the Western Conference? It's the Spurs and the Rockets, who are tanking like no tomorrow. The Lakers are trying to win, are not winning, and have obviously three contracts that make up 100 and what is it, $40 or $150 million in contract. But the making the case for Russ, they're not even using Russ at the end of games. All right, there's times where Russ is literally sitting on the bench the entire fourth quarter. So to make a case that, no, Russ is going to do this, Russ is going to do that, Russ is a liability in his own way. Yes, Russ can grab a couple of rebounds, but he could also go 2 of 16 from the field and have 5 turnovers. So the case for Russ is, that one makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible idea that I would do it anyway. Just because
it's the Lakers.
And the payoff is not zero.
But Trav, do you agree with, if you are running a different team, not every team of where they are and where they're going is...
I would have done it if I were the Mavs.
I would have done it if I was the Mavs.
I would have done it if I were the Suns.
I would have done it if I was the Suns, too.
I would have done it
I would have hesitated if I'm the Clippers.
The Clippers are... Yeah.
I hesitate on the Clippers.
I think we're kind of on the same page. I think the I wouldn't have said no right away, but I would have... Okay. I would have got my staff together and said, let's talk this through for a second.
Let's figure it out.
Let's figure this out. Yeah. We might land on yes, but mm-hmm. we might land on no. The Lakers is like, no, go for it. Because if you got into a playoff situation where you made a run, say you go to the finals, let's say the ultimate pipe dream hits and you win it, and then he burns the building to the ground 2 years from now, it's like, yeah, all right. It's kind of what happened for different reasons, obviously, but it's kind of what you did with Anthony Davis. Whatever you want, give him to us, bang, we hit it. Since then, it's been a tire fire. But it was worth it. You got one. This could be the same situation. Very different reasons.
But I get the comparison. I get the comparison.
Let's try one more. Simi Valley. Rick. Rick, you're on with Trav and Slee.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. With Kevin Durant demanding a trade over the summer, maybe he might be in play again at this time. And I was wondering, would you guys think it was
Rick, I'm sorry. Rick, I'm sorry to stop you. I'm sorry to stop you. Josiah's not trading Kyrie Irving to the Lakers. Why is he going to trade KD to the Lakers?
Because it's not personal with KD?
I think
that's the potential answer, at least.
Just let's use the hypothetical here. Okay, so I'm going to trade KD, who's so much better than Kyrie Irving, to the Los Angeles Lakers to watch them win an NBA championship.
I don't think that's what it is. I don't think he didn't send him to the Lakers because he didn't want to help the Lakers. I don't think he wanted to help Kyrie.
I think it's a combination of both.
I that's not what I've been reading and hearing from people that are talking. That it was more a, I'm not giving Kyrie what he wants. If Kyrie's heart said, I want to go to the Portland Trailblazers, he's not sending him to Portland. I'm not sending you to where you want to go. KD could be one of those, listen, I don't have hard feelings for KD. If the Lakers have the best package available to me, then I'm going to do that. That we both were agreeing that had the Lakers had the best package, Kyrie Irving was not coming here. Josiah was not going to do that because he's basically saying, you've made my life a living hell for 4 years. I'm not giving you what you want on the way out the door. I don't think he has hard feelings like that for KD. If the Laker offer was the best for Durant, you gotta at least think there's a possibility.
I don't think he has hard feelings like he would towards Kyrie, but this is KD and Kyrie coming together. This is KD demanding a trade in the offseason. This is James Harden deciding with this group of guys, let me get the hell out of here. He's also, I'm not saying that he has feelings like he does for Kyrie, but I don't think he's trying to help KD out either.
I think at that point you're looking for the best deal. What's the best thing for me? That once I've removed the, I'm going to screw you. Mm-hmm. You want that? Okay, anything, you're going to get anything but that.
And I'll also say this, whatever the Lakers could offer for KD,
probably
teams would have
enough.
Much more assets.
That's why he's not going to go there. You watch The Wire, right?
I did watch The Wire. Yeah.
Remember when they said, McNulty, where's the one place you don't want to go? I don't want to be on the boat. Where did McNulty go? He's on the boat. McNulty is Kyrie. Anything that you don't want, that's what you get. Where's the one place I'd like to stay in homicide? Okay, you're on the boat. you're not giving him what you want.
Hey, what happens is the dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Kyrie was starting in the Eastern Conference for the All-Star game. What happens now?
I have no idea.
All right.
Ask me if I care.
Well, I thought because you watched Pro Bowl yesterday. I did. This is your thing.
I did. I
thought you watch all of these now.
If they were going to do like a three-point contest with just the players, I'd be far more interested than they're going to run around and throw each other lobs for 2.5 hours. I don't need to see that. It was cool. It was good. But it wasn't football. That's the whole point. It wasn't a football game. That I have no interest in. They're still pretending that this thing is a basketball game. It's ridiculous.
It's a very important game.
It's definitely not. The Dump, Supercross Talk, coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Speaking of things we used to watch that maybe we don't watch quite as much, it was today, February 6th in 1988, that Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins had their unbelievable duel in the slam dunk contest that Michael Jordan won who probably shouldn't.
Dominique won.
Absolutely, yeah. He did.
So I think I told you the story. Lakers were playing the Atlanta Hawks 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and Dominique comes over and he's talking to Michael, and I'm just kind of listening to their conversation, and I forget who it was. I think it was Michael that said, I can't remember who it was. Somebody had asked Dominique, hey, when you go down on the court and these players see Dominique Wilkins, do they know who Dominique Wilkins is? And he said something to the effect like, you know, a lot of the players, most of them don't really have like too much knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine some of these younger players go see Dominique's highlights? Like, it's as good as any player today that can dunk.
I'm with you. His dunks were amazing, but you're asking guys that it was 35 years ago. Like, if you were in the 80s and said, hey, go back and watch Bob Cousy dribble with his head down in 1950s.
Here's the difference. What did you just say? Jordan and Neek, yeah. Right? So if you go watch, let's just say you go watch that slam dunk contest. Dominique was playing with Jordan,
yeah,
right? So at least it's everybody's going to have seen Jordan highlights because he's, you know, obviously greatest ever or whatever the case is.
It was the best dunk contest ever. Other moments where like Blake jumping over the car and D. Brown. Was it D. Brown had the blindfold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cedric did too.
Cedric covered his eyes. There's been a couple of cool moments. The
Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine was really good.
That was good, but nothing like this. Because here's the other thing. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. We're not talking about good players or role players.
Obi Toppin of the Knicks.
Yeah, Blake was a star. LeBron still has never done it, right?
No, LeBron never did.
I think Vince Carter was the best one.
Vince Carter was really good, too. Yep. Kobe never did it, right?
Kobe did. Kobe won it.
He won
it at 96, his rookie year.
Did he really? Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Good for him. Everybody should do it once. I know that you want to be cautious, you know, time is limited.
It turned into, like, none of the real players do it.
Didn't they have G Leaguers not that long ago?
I don't know if they had G Leaguers. Maybe they did. But I'm going to just go back to this.
Year.
What happened to, that's right, the former Laker that was in as part of their...
that's not good.
But what happened to, it's almost like it's a bad, they have perceived it as it's a bad look to do it.
Well, okay, if I'm trying to play amateur psychologist here for a second, I don't think they want to lose. I don't think somebody wants to show up and lose. I think if they thought that they were going to show up and get it, it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, I don't want to show up and be the guy that's out right away. Dwight did a good job in
Nate Robinson, remember they were all doing it against each other, yeah.
Today in 2011, February 6, 2011, Aaron Rodgers won his one and only Super Bowl in his one and only Super Bowl appearance. That is, quite frankly, weird to say out loud. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you're right, they're at the top. Aaron Rodgers is not far behind.
Tom Brady.
Either one. Yes. Yes.
Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Rodgers is the third name on that list over the last 15 years or so. Manning, we know, went to the Super Bowl 4 times.
Yeah.
Brady went 10. One? Ben Roethlisberger went twice. Jared Goff's been to the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco has been to the Super Bowl.
Eli Manning's got two.
Eli Manning has two. Hasselbeck went to the Super Bowl. Like, there's this, Jimmy Garoppolo has been to the Super
Bowl.
Ben's
been 3 times. Yeah, he lost once.
You're right.
And he won twice.
One, two, went three. Like, this is one of the great quarterbacks of his generation. One? That's weird.
He has never lost, though. It's like he's betting 1,000.
But this is the Jordan thing, right? Like, just because you lose in the wild card round, you don't get extra credit.
Sure. Right. They look at 6-0, but they don't look at, well, this guy made it 10 times, and he went 5-4.
Right.
You know, I never really pay too much attention to that on Aaron Rodgers. I'm with you. I've kind of also always looked at Aaron Rodgers, too, like, damn, that's the cream of the crop. I've always looked at him like that. And until you kind of kept emphasizing, yeah, but Allie's only been to one Super Bowl. So I just kind of naturally have taken him down of how I view him. And then even, you know, whether it's these last couple of years where they had some opportunities to get back, they always disappoint.
Well, that's it, right? It's not just that they got hot one year and went to the Super Bowl and he's been on a bad team.
No, they've been either number one seeds, they've had buys, they've lost
at Lambeau. You would think that you would have the home field advantage. And it's also, do you guys think that he will get to one or win another one with a different team?
Like possible.
If he got traded this offseason, do you think he's going to go to a Super Bowl?
It could be one of those weird things where it depends. Like if he goes to the Raiders, which is seeming more possible, you know, he's talking about all the Raider fans cheering him on at Pebble Beach this weekend. Is the reason I'm going to take the Raiders to this, but if he made like a very strategic football decision, go to Tennessee, for instance.
All the pieces are there. They're laid out.
Pretty good team. They just need a quarterback to kind of take them over the top.
So I think it's only going to be that. It has to be the perfect situation, a really good defense. You got a running game. You're going to need all that.
Speaking of Tom Brady, he said that he spoke with Fox executives this last week, and he does not expect to begin his broadcasting career until the fall of 2024, which means he will not be in a broadcast booth or in a studio for the entirety of the upcoming NFL season. That the year after that is when we'll finally get Tom Brady.
All right. So it's the – what was the movie that just came out? The Brady,
80 for Brady?
80 for Brady. I think he's on a tour for that. I think he's going to spend the entire 2023 promoting
that. Did you take it in this weekend? I know you told me a lot of things you did this weekend. Did you get to 80 for Brady?
That didn't happen. What was the other one you said? Poker Face? Was it?
Poker Face is a show.
I didn't see that either. Did you watch it?
I didn't get around to it, no.
I wanted to see 80 for Brady, but it wasn't showing at the Alamo, so I didn't see it. No, I literally... So I have my monthly pass thing where I pay $30 a month and I get to see as many movies as I want. So it allows me to see things I wouldn't normally see. So I was going to go see 80 for Brady and just isn't showing at the Alamo. So I was like, well, I'm going to go watch All Quiet on the Western Front again.
Will you go spend your $15 to go see it somewhere else?
I'm gonna get whenever it comes on HBO Max or whatever, I'm going to watch it there.
That feels like the better.
I feel like I haven't seen John Ireland in
I don't know who that is.
It's in 8 weeks.
It's an unfamiliar
face. It's been 7 years since I see John. He's on a world tour.
Imagine how I feel.
Vaguely familiar.
Traveling the world.
Did you see 80 for Brady this weekend?
No, I'm waiting to take my mom, but I'm not going to be able to do it during the season. But Mason's seen it.
I know.
He said it was good.
He said it was good. You liked it, right, Mason?
It did good business, too.
Did
it? Apparently it did really good business. They drastically discounted it for seniors, which I guess was the target audience for the whole
number
operation.
Number one movie in the Villages in Florida.
Travis, you and I are going to end up there. They got like 19 golf courses.
I went down a Villages wormhole yesterday. There was something that popped up on my feed that I saw the same thing. Like, there's how many golf courses here?
Yeah, and there's like
Florida.
11 restaurants, and you know, that's all I need.
Florida, though.
Well, I'll worry about that later. We'll open a village in California.
Yeah, I was going to say, there should be one like in Malibu.
Well, they got them Del Webb communities out there with all the golf courses in Palm Springs.
That's not bad. A little hot.
Yeah, my mom lived in like Del Webb Series 4 or
Del
something.
Boca Vista?
Del Boca Vista!
I'm going to be all over that shuffleboard court.
We're going to be at the pool.
All over the clubhouse. Yeah. That's how it's going to go. All right, we're going to get into the trade that did not happen and everything else from this week. A little super crosstalk.
All right, so I've got Sliwa, like, looking at the standings now. There is one, after tomorrow, there's one team the Lakers have not faced at all yet this year in the NBA. Who is it? Tomorrow's Oklahoma City. There are two left as of now. Who's the last one?
They played Miami. They played Orlando. They played Atlanta.
Did they play the Pistons?
They've played the Pistons twice.
Yeah. Did they play Utah?
They've played Utah twice.
Eastern Conference, right?
I'll give you that. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Haven't played him at all. Haven't played him here. Haven't played him there.
They played Toronto.
Oh, I think I got it.
Yep.
Who? I think I got it. Chicago?
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, Chicago.
Yeah. Haven't played him yet at all.
So you're just a one-off to Chicago and back? Is that coming
up? No. The one coming up for Super Bowl is Saturday night at Golden State. Then we watch the Super Bowl in Portland.
That's right.
And then next Monday, a week from today, in Portland.
So Al and I spent the vast majority of the show today talking about the deal that wasn't, right?
Yeah.
That Kyrie Irving as a Dallas Maverick. We were talking about it on Friday, Mace.
I thought it was going to happen.
I think everybody
Trev, I didn't talk to you on Friday, obviously, because I was out, but I would imagine you hated the idea.
No,
right?
I didn't. I didn't hate the idea. I went in it with my eyes fully wide open, but I would have done it anyway.
Your star-driven town came up a couple times.
Star-effing-driven town.
No, I think what it is you go in saying, I know what's going to happen eventually, but I'll try it right now anyway. I think that's kind of where I was. When the world burned eventually, it would have been one of those, well, we knew it was going to happen, but what did we get out of it? Did we skip over the point where the Nets weren't going to ever send him here because Josiah didn't want to
give him his preferred destination?
Kyrie Irving.
I have heard, and Ramona's going to join us. She's over doing NBA Today. Her and I have been talking to a lot of the same people and a few different ones. I've heard that report is untrue.
Oh, really? Josiah
just
was not
the Dallas package better.
Correct. That Josiah would have dealt with anybody, but he needed players that were going to help them win this year right away, and he didn't feel that the Lakers had that.
Do you buy that, Mace?
I do. If the objective was to compete this year, Brooklyn to compete this year, I'm not sure. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie, I guess, plays point guard.
He's averaging
for
about
you.
20 a game.
Dorian Finney-Smith is
they're
totally fine.
They're lucky to win a round.
They're not going to go anywhere with those two players necessarily. But I do think, I don't think the Lakers would have made him better. I don't think any of the packages I saw with the Lakers would have made them better in the short term. If the objective is, hey, let's still be in it this
accommodate
this year.
To KD.
Right.
But here's why I'm willing to at least consider the possibility that there was personal animus involved in this.
Okay.
Josiah is a human being. That at some point, if somebody has made your life difficult for reasons
you've gone down a road here, though, that is kind of a fun thing to kick around. I always say this with Mason. People say, well, the Lakers can never trade him to the Clippers because the Clippers and Lakers are in the same hometown. Mm-hmm. Or you can never trade Aaron Rodgers to the Lions or the Bears because they're in your division and you would have to see him twice a year.
Yes.
If I'm an owner of any sports team and I'm making a trade, I don't care who I'm trading him to. The only thing I care about is the return. That's it. What return makes me better the most? I don't think most people consider. Fans think, well, the Lakers will never do a trade with the Clippers.
I don't think that's true.
It's not true.
I want to answer that.
No, they actually have.
I want to answer that.
Right? The Rams would never do a trade with the Niners or the Chargers.
Sure they would.
Yeah, I mean, if the packages were right. I think, the difference is, to me, if you're talking about Shohei Ohtani, I don't think the Angels make that deal with the Dodgers.
If the Dodger package is better than everybody else's, I think they do. But I think that what makes this different. It's not just I don't want to help you because you're in my city or you're a rival.
It's because of Kyrie.
I don't like you,
right?
And if the deals are close enough, maybe one's incrementally better than the other, right? The Dallas deal is probably a little bit more appealing than the Laker deal, but it's not like it's 100 miles away,
right?
If I like you, I might try to help you.
Okay,
out
there's an
bit.
Example of what you're talking about. So when Kevin Garnett got traded from Minnesota to Boston, reportedly the Lakers, all the way up to ownership, Dr. Buss, were willing to part with Andrew Bynum and Lamar Odom in that deal to get Kevin Garnett to play with Kobe. And it would have been Garnett, Kobe, Powell. It would have been, loaded. Mm-hmm. Kevin McHale, famous Celtic, was the GM of the Wolves. So he took Boston's deal over the Laker deal because they were close. So that's an example of what you're talking about. But I think a lot of Laker fans are disappointed today. And the truth is, and people never remember this when it comes time, it takes two to tango.
Sure.
You have to have a willing partner to make a trade. And the Lakers, now, what's this tweet LeBron made that you're so bent out of shape
over?
Well,
the tweet is it me?
Yeah, I thought that was...
Maybe it's me.
Maybe it's me.
I thought it was
me.
Funny. You're like making it out to be some act of...
Oh, he's always doing it, John. He's always got these little plausible deniability, passive aggressive. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. It's just, I'm just.
Do you think you're overreading this?
No,
maybe he was just trying to be funny.
I don't. First of all, LeBron's not that funny. Second of all, it's one of those things that he does regularly. So I'm not going to assume that the 20th time he's done it, this is the time he's cracking a joke. I don't think it's the end of the world, but I do think I'm just done with the cryptic tweets. It's just that they're always there.
Hashtag content.
They're just unnecessary.
I had a completely different take on it than you did. I think that
I'm not surprised
that LeBron was sitting there going, okay, everybody is going to want me to react to this news. What is the best way to do that? Say nothing.
Well, he could. If you want to be funny about it, you could just say, "I know you're all waiting, but I got nothing for you on this one."
But
it's cryptic.
Wait, it's funnier if you say, "Is it me?"
But maybe it's me is suggesting what that
exactly.
That there's enough. Lakers aren't willing to do something for
me. It's suggesting that that Kyrie passed on LeBron again.
You wasn't know, up to Kyrie,
right.
But it wasn't up
but
to
that's
Kyrie,
why it's funny.
Right?
Yeah, I mean that's it. Nobody
if this were the first time he'd thrown something like that out there, it would be a all right, whatever.
No, but he's the king of passive aggressive tweets.
Yes,
I mean as soon as Kyrie requested the trade, it was two eyeballs in the crown.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean he's trying.
I like it. I like that
he's trolling us to some degree, but it is fun to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the content
except
business.
Except for you.
Yeah, it's fun for everybody but you who seems to
Travis
be bent
doesn't
over
like
this
it.
Tweet.
Maybe it's you.
I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody else that reacted to the tweet the way you did. I think it is you.
It is Travis.
He threw one of the cameras right when he read it. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it.
It's just like, dude, come on, man. Just say something or don't. It's the same thing over and over again. I'm done with it. I like LeBron James. I want to root for him.
Wait a minute. Stop.
What?
You've been trying to trade LeBron for 3 months, and you know it.
Yes.
So
that means I can't like
you,
him?
Yes, that's exactly what
it
means.
Doesn't.
If you like him, you're not running
mind.
Him out of town.
No, I like the Lakers more than I like LeBron James.
Yeah, so if you like the Lakers, why do you want the Lakers without LeBron? Think about what this week would be like if LeBron wasn't here.
I know you know the answer to this question. Do you know the Lakers' record?
Right.
Do you know that they're
a bad
team?
So do you think trading LeBron for a poo-poo platter makes the record better?
No. What I'm saying is the quicker we can find a way to not run back the same bad result over and over again might result in a better record sooner than later.
Trav, just to play that out, you were just talking about how you wanted to see Kyrie come to the Lakers because it gave them a shot to potentially win a championship. If you were to trade Kyrie, or if you were to trade Bron, which you can't trade, by the way, until the offseason, but if that was going to happen 2 months ago or 3 months ago, then all that chance or opportunity at championship, that piece is lost, right?
The Kyrie thing was kind of a one-off. That was such a unique, and it kind of, I don't want to say it came out of nowhere, because with Kyrie, nothing comes out of nowhere. But that was one of those, you know what, this might
that was
juice
very surprising.
It to a degree.
I thought it was very surprising.
I honestly think that, and I left the air on Friday thinking, when we get back here Monday, Kyrie's going to be a Laker. I really felt like it was going to happen.
I did too.
It just seemed like tailor-made and orchestrated.
I texted
and all
these
that
guys
stuff.
On Saturday. I was in New Orleans, and I texted these guys almost within 10 minutes of each other. The Lakers announced Westbrook was questionable, and the Nets announced
that's right.
Kyrie was out.
Yep.
And I went, here we go. Yeah. Now it's who's telling the truth.
Did you think it was going to go down?
I was talking to enough people that warned me, be skeptical.
Mm.
That if the Lakers controlled this single-handedly, it would happen. It's not the Lakers that are holding this up. It's a willing partner.
That's the part that I think we raced past.
Yeah.
That when we were doing it on Friday, it wasn't like, will the Lakers do it? It was, will the Lakers have enough to make the Nets do it? That we didn't get
and the answer
that.
We never got to that.
Yeah. Well, the answer turned around to be no.
They offered the assets, right? Anybody who was upset at Pelinka today, what else do you want him to do? There's nothing else that
and I was
Rob
told,
could have done.
Again, by somebody I trust, that even if Rob would have put all these reported things that the Nets were asking for into the
Reeves
deal. They still
two ones, Westbrook, Reeves, Max Christie.
Right. Still wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that was just
like,
to be like a part of the
still
conversation.
Wouldn't have done it.
Because
they like Dallas's deal better.
Yeah. Does it make this Dallas the team to beat now in the West?
No.
But I don't know who is.
Yeah, that's the catch,
so
right?
Yeah, I mean it's
one thing I was worried about. One thing I was worried about. I thought if the Clippers could have put this thing together for Kyrie, that made them a clear front runner. Now I think they're just in the mix with everybody else.
The Clippers, I don't have the impression that they would have done this deal.
They apparently made at least a half-hearted
effort.
They
did make an offer
of
some
team,
kind.
Well, I'm surprised.
They're a weird team.
When it was reported that they were willing to put Terrence Mann in the deal. Mm-hmm. Everybody's after Terrence Mann.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People think Terrence Mann could be the next Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was on the Clippers. Mm-hmm. He was buried behind Chris Paul. And they basically had a, or I can't remember if it was buried behind Chris Paul or they had just drafted him and Paul was already in Houston. But they knew Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could play.
Yeah.
And when they wanted Paul George, Oklahoma City said, we'll do it, mm-hmm. but SGA has to be in the deal. And they went back and forth. And finally, when Kawhi said, I'm not signing with you unless you get Paul George, they said, oh, now we're talking SGA for Paul George and Kawhi,
cool. right.
so we can justify it. And they sent him out. The people in the league talk about Terrence Mann like that. Like he could be the next all-star in waiting who just
yeah, but if you're the Clips, don't you kind of have to try to juice it? Don't you try to have to
they
just,
tried.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It was the Nets. The Clippers made a strong
right.
offer.
I can't tell you how much I would have liked to have watched a team with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Kyrie Irving for all of the reasons.
I would have made him, the
all
favorite.
Of the reasons.
More than James Harden, KD, and Kyrie?
Well, that's what I mean. But
the Clippers
all...
are almost the favorite. Now, this would have put them... Right. Made them somewhat prohibitive favorites.
Yeah, a lot of people are picking the clip.
But see, I like Kyrie for 4 months. Okay, we'll get to that. I would not give Kyrie a long-term deal.
Dallas hasn't said they're going to extend
him. Yeah,
anymore.
I would not give Kyrie
a
long-term
deal.
Well,
here's what scares me.
Making him a two-year deal.
What owner in the league could care less about going $200 million over the cap?
Right. Mark Cuban.
No.
Oh, Ballmer.
Joe Lacob.
Ballmer.
What about Joe Lacob?
Well, he's already there. He's already way up. Well, the question that the Lacob has to ask is, like, Michael has said he thinks that Lacob should go after Durant.
Right.
You know, and get him back. I don't know if they could rebuild that. But is Golden State ready to part with core championship pieces?
Well, Draymond is a free agent coming up.
Yeah, but would
Steph's
they trade?
Not going anywhere. Clay's not going anywhere.
Clay could definitely go.
You think Clay could
somewhere.
Move?
Yeah, he can definitely go.
Others think he could.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're at the end of their contracts, both Clay and Draymond. So I'm picking the Warriors to go to the Western Conference Finals.
Is Clay a free agent this summer?
Had Kyrie signed with the Clippers, I would have switched to the Clippers.
Not this
Why
summer,
Why is nobody
right?
taking Denver? They're number one seed.
They could come out of the West.
They could come out of the West.
But it's like four or five other teams you could say that they could come out of the West.
It's kind of
a
crapshoot this year. It's a crapshoot. There's not a clear, you know, Denver, Memphis.
I'll say this about Denver. If Denver gets the one, the team they do not want to play is the Lakers.
They beat them twice, right?
Yeah, they played three times. But the last game we played, AD didn't play. And
Lakers beat Denver twice this year, though, right?
I thought they were 2-2. I think they're 2-2 against
are they?
Denver.
Yeah. I know that the last game we played in Denver, Denver won, but no AD. Jokic and AD is a bad matchup for Jokic.
Yeah.
He normally handles them pretty well.
The problem is just the playoff of that. John, I think what a lot was lost over this weekend, they're still losing games.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that game against the Pelicans, and listening to you and Michael, it's very frustrating watching Lakers basketball right now. It's not, you know, we try to play this off of if they just get in and if they do this, that matchup could be.
Yeah, right now they're not even in.
It's 500. It is right there for they got to string together some wins. And I thought they were doing it on that road trip. They did put together a couple of wins on the road trip. I thought, here they come. Then they blow the Saturday game.
There's reasons to be optimistic. And the reasons are everybody's kind of bunched together. And an AD LeBron James duo is formidable. That's the reason for optimism. The reality of it is the season, we're nearly the All-Star break. We're under 30 games left, and they've never been out of 12th or 13th place. They've just kind of been sitting
there.
Yeah,
they started 2-10.
Yeah, but they got hot for a minute, but they never really moved out of that spot because they dug themselves that hole. Even after they dug most of the way out of it, all those other teams are going up and down and sideways.
Every time you think they're putting together a little run, it comes off the rails.
All year long. Yeah. That has to mean something.
They're still only two out of the 10.
we've been saying that for 2 months.
But okay.
And they're four out of the.
I'm picking Golden State to come out of the West. I think they're like two games behind Golden State.
I know.
I mean, Golden State plays OKC tonight. So now it looks like they're going to be without Steph for a month. And,
yeah, that's right.
You know, so it could, it, they're another
could,
team that
they
could fall.
They could fall out all the way because of the Steph thing.
Yeah, there's going to be a good team or two or a name team or two that doesn't even make the play-in tournament.
You guys missed a good night at the Coliseum last night.
How was it?
Terrific. I can't recommend it enough. I really can't. And I'm not like a huge Rays fan, but it is such a fun night.
So I don't want to. So I was watching the Grammy Awards and I switched over because it was on Channel 11 while the Grammy Awards were on Channel 2. And what I noticed was there were a lot of empty seats there.
There were, if I had to guess.
Was it at the Coliseum?
Yeah, the Coliseum. Yeah.
There were fewer people this year than last year. I think because it was at night. It's Sunday night, right? So I think that had part to do with it. Maybe a little bit of the novelty had worn off.
Yep.
But it wasn't, it was, I'd say there are 50,000.
Yeah.
You know, Coliseum holds 90. Sure, so there's going to be a lot of empty seats. 50,000 people on a Sunday night to watch short track stock car racing in
LA.
Did
you go on a press pass? Did you go with tickets?
Went with tickets, went with some buddies.
It was hammered tailgating outside.
It was great. There was NASCAR tailgating outside?
Yeah. Not outside. Before we got there, we had tailgated
a little bit. Yeah, there you go.
Were they selling the full turkey leg?
They didn't have that, but they have the big beers for $18 a piece
or whatever
it is.
Nice
It's a great night. I can't recommend it enough. You should go.
Fontana. When we went to one, when I walked in, it was turkey legs everywhere. Just people walking around.
Yeah,
the turkey.
Yeah,
it's
really
not Fontana. Fontana's like a real NASCAR
race. That's a real NASCAR race, right?
This is a L.A. novelty with Wiz Khalifa and Ice Cube.
Oh, nice.
The last night was Wiz Khalifa. Last year was Ice Cube. Cypress Hill and Pitbull last. It's just a good night.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah. That's cool.
And, you know, I get my yeehaw on for one night. Nothing.
You get your what?
I don't even know. You
yeehaw.
Got your. Oh, your yeehaw. Yep.
Are you mocking the South?
Are you mocking NASCAR fans?
NASCAR fans are perhaps.
What do you have against stock car racing?
Take that back.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
Take it off
what
the podcast.
What are you saying?
Are you Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies? What's wrong with you?
I'm going to have my shirts with the bald eagles and American flags.
God, you
and
know
I'm
it's
going
so funny.
Back.
No, I happened to switch on Talladega Nights this weekend for just a minute because I was waiting to watch something else. And there's Ricky Bobby with the decal right on the windshield where he's like, this is kind of making it hard to see.
Yeah. A little bit of that.
Such a
little
bit of that.
With my sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, my smoking hot wife.
I like how my boys are talking to you, Chip.
I'm all coming with you like a spider monkey.
Well, tell you guys off the air. Super Crosstalk's powered by In-N-Out Burger.
Up.
That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next.